whether you come to my meetings or you go on my tours.
Yes.
And so it's up to you, totally up to you.
Both,
yeah, correct. As you probably remember, last year there were four event centers that were in play. They all dealt with higher education institutions. Two of them did make it, Bemidji, at least the first phase, and then Southwest State. And the two that didn't make it were St. Cloud and Duluth. We made kind of a last-minute effort to try to get some cash money last year, but weren't successful. So even though this isn't an emergency, the fact that it fell through the cracks last year, we feel justified in taking a look at this year. The Duluth project is in the governor's recommendations. The St. Cloud one is not. But we will start with the Duluth project. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair,
he just said.
Okay. Senator Solon.
Mr. Chair, committee members, thank you. Thank you also for the opportunity to renew our request for state financial support to build a new arena at the Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center. 2007 marks the third year that we have been discussing this issue at the Capitol. Last year, state matching funds for the Deck Arena was one of the last items to fall off the table as we were wrapping up the bonding bill. This year, we are hopeful that the stars have lined up and we will receive the state funding. We received good news last week when Governor Pawlenty indicated his support for the project in his capital budget. Many of you have had the opportunity to see the deck facility and to hear about the planned improvements over the past year or two. We are here to review for you the request and to stand for questions. And I have with me three witnesses, Duluth Mayor Bergson, Mark Emmel, who is the chair of the Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center Authority, and Dan Russell, who is the executive director of the DEC. And each of the witnesses will speak briefly on the project, and then all four of us will stand for your questions. So, Mayor Bergson first.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, I am Herb Bergson, mayor of the city of Duluth. I'm here to indicate the city's strong support for the DEC Arena project. The Duluth Entertainment and Convention Center is the centerpiece of our downtown business and entertainment district. The new arena will greatly enhance this asset and increase its value to our community, to our region, and to the state. We know that the new arena will be a tremendous benefit to our community and our region. This enhanced facility will also provide benefits to the state as more concerts and more conventions will come to Duluth rather than similarly sized convention facilities in the upper Midwest. The city is prepared to match the state funds dollar for dollar. The key component to the local funding package is a 0.75% increase to the city food and beverage tax. The citizens of Duluth voted 61% to 39% in a special referendum in favor of dedicating revenue with that new tax. My administration and the city council renewed our formal support for this initiative just before the start of the 2000 session. We have strong support throughout the community, unanimous support on the council, and the support of the city administration for this request. We appreciate all the time and attention you have given to this issue over the last couple of legislative sessions. We hope this is the year to get the project done, and we will provide whatever information the committee might need in support of this initiative. The next two speakers we have here with us are the executive director of the Duluth Entertainment Convention Center and the board president of the state authority for the DEC. Dan Russell.
Mr. Chair, Senator Solon, and members of the committee, on behalf of the DEC board of directors and the staff, I want to thank you for your time today. My name is Mark Emmel. I work with president and CEO of Leibovitz Enterprises and the current chair of the DEC board. Again, thank you for your time today. We hope that you've received the most updated information that we have on the project. The scope of the project remains the same as it did a year ago. The only difference is the cost of the project is estimated to have gone up 13.9% due to inflation. The State Department of Finance has provided that number to us. It's just a little over 1.1% a month that construction costs are going up. We want you to know that should the project receive legislative approval this year, the DEC board and the staff are ready to move ahead. We've invested monies up front in pre-design and are near completion with our negotiations on the design and architectural contracts. And I think that's important for you to know. So should we receive approval this year, we would break ground on the first phase of the construction as early as this summer. And Dan is prepared to give you an overview of the project and the funding sources.
Thank you. Dan Russell, Executive Director of Duluth Entertainment Convention Center. And I'll just add a few things, some new developments. One that we're very excited about is our entire design team, the DEC Board of Directors, and local partners are committed to making this the first LEED certified arena, not only in the United States, but in the country. HOK is our architect. You're familiar with them. They're also involved in the University of Minnesota Football Stadium and the Twins Stadium. This has been a goal of theirs for a long time, and it will happen. Our goal is to reduce energy costs for this facility, electric alone, by 50%. And we've assembled a team to do that. We had a little bit of a head start, but we just learned yesterday that the facility in Toledo, Ohio, has just announced a similar goal, but we feel that we're far enough along in our design that we will be the first facility to get LEED certification. The second thing I'd like to point out is, and last year we made the point that this is a regional facility. This isn't just for Duluth. It serves all of northern Minnesota, especially northeastern Minnesota. To give you an idea of that, on Sunday night we had Larry the Cable Guy at the deck. The largest assembly of pickup trucks in our history in our parking lot. But we had over 5,000 people, and we did a Ticketmaster survey. They just printed out, and over 70% of the people at that show on Sunday night were from outside Duluth. And to get an idea of what that means on a Sunday night in January, to have every restaurant and plenty of hotel rooms full, it shows you the economic impact that we have. I will add that everybody at this table, except for Senator Prentner Solon, was at the Larry the Cable Guy show.
My dad was there.
But her daughter was there.
Senator Berglund, could you?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, you know, every time I go to Duluth, I cannot get a hotel room there. And so, you know, I end up having to go to Superior, Wisconsin, or, you know.
Chisholm?
Yeah, sometimes as far away as that, looking for a place. And so I'm wondering if the deck is expanded, if there is a plan that the city has for increasing the number of hotel and lodging facilities.
We have two new hotels under construction now, and we have inquiries on two others from other developers right now.
There's a new Sheraton that's about three-quarters of the way through, and a beautiful new property right down the corner of the lake. We're very proud of our convention background. I know that we were talking earlier that the senator was at a water convention a couple years ago. The DEC actually was rated the 11th busiest convention center in the country for number of conventions, not overall size, but for number of conventions a few years ago. It's one of the reasons why this space will be so well utilized. Next time you need a room, I will say Mark is president of the Holiday Inn Corporation. And Yvonne has a wonderful place right on the water that you could stay. But
well, I'm sure I'm not the only one that has the problem. So
yeah, it's kind of a good problem, but we can address that too. Just a couple other points is we have project labor agreements in place on all of our projects at the DEC. We have a great relationship with the local trades. Some of the best tradespeople that you can find. That will be the case on this project. They're estimating over 300 local union jobs during the peak of construction. 90% of those will be local. And we feel that local is very important for us. A lot of these projects are finishing up And I talked to Craig Olson from the trades, and they're looking at pretty significant unemployment in the building trades because the big major, a few big major projects have finished up and are in operation. So I think that's important. But anyway, we certainly thank you for your support, and we're here to answer any questions that you may have on the project,
Chairman. Senator Metzen.
Well, I personally think it's time to get this thing done. I can remember, I'm so old, and I played in a curling club in 1962, and I think the deck was built
64, 65. They got the money in 63, opened in 66.
It's old. But I was wondering, Mr. Chairman, the 14% inflationary figure, I mean, the inflation is 2.5%, 3%. Is that because of, like, the high cost of steel and other products? I mean, general inflation is 2 or 3.
Right.
This building is close to 14% in one short year. Is that demand and supply, or how do we get up way up to 14?
Well, there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, that number was given to us by the Department of Finance. That is the number that the Department of Finance is publishing for state projects. And a lot of that is an arena is steel and concrete. And copper, a lot of wire, and those are all things that are just going through the roof. Plus, we've had our cost estimators update our numbers, and unfortunately, that's just the number that it is. I think we're going to run into that.
Chairman, that's another reason why we can't delay these things. I mean, if it's
our local funding plan doesn't work beyond this year, we'd have to revisit it because the food and beverage tax receipts are going up 4 to 5%, which is very good in our community, but with construction inflation going up over 13%, or really 1% a month, we have kind of a limited window here with the current funding plan that we have been pretty steady with.
Chairman, I think it's the product. It's the steel and the cement and the lack of and copper, like you just mentioned.
And, of course, that covers every project that is requested. That's what's happening. A billion-dollar bonding bill isn't anything like it used to be as far as what it'll buy, because these costs have gone up so much. It's the whole thing is basically shrinking. Now, I had understood that. I think you got the design ready and everything. So, as soon as frost goes out, you can get started. How is the timing of that, as far as doing it fairly quickly versus doing it in May?
Well. Obviously, every month head start makes it easier to hit our schedule. Our target is the beginning of the hockey season for the 2009 season, which is October. And it would be very difficult. It would be done. But if we didn't hit that, you would have half a season in one building and move into another one. Plus, we want to take care of the summer construction months. This winter would have been great, but there's no guarantee next year would be the same. But we're far enough along in the planning that we're calling for starting to drive pile the day after Grandma's Marathon, which takes up our entire facility. So June 18th, we're in the position to start driving piling. And our delivery method, the construction manager, and we roll packages into each other, we're very confident that we can do that. It's costing us money every month that we wait. It's costing us construction season, key construction season months, and we really feel that we're prepared to move ahead with that. We've worked very, very hard as a board since last May getting ready for this opportunity.
Well, we at this point are still very much in a state of flux as to how we're going to do all this. I think it's fair to say there's going to be a fair amount that will be one-time money, cash money. The governor did put yours in the bonding. But we have discretion of either bonding or cash, and that's something that has to be worked out with the Finance Committee and everything, and also whether it all comes in a Capital Investment Committee or if some of it goes separate. And that's why I was asking you about the timing, that if somehow that does make a fair amount of difference, that we could split it off possibly and go earlier. But that's true of pretty much all of the requests that come in. We don't know how we're going to do that yet, and Senator Cohen and I are trying to figure that out.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm glad you raised that, because obviously you and I have had some discussions, and we'll have to have further discussions as to whether or not, because obviously you've got a limited amount of money that you can utilize this year in the context of a bonding bill. What we have uniquely is a large amount of one-time money. So that money at this point is in the Finance Committee, and we'll have to make some determination as to whether or not we do something jointly. We simply do it through the Finance Committee. Obviously, this particular proposal is in the governor's bonding proposal. Sarah Solon, I don't think you would have any objection if you got the money one way or another, if it was through bonding or through this committee or through the Finance Committee with cash, if it got the project done. So obviously you and I have to, Mr. Chairman, sit down and make sure we understand what we'd like to do or not do. We also have some questions with the Tax Committee in terms of one-time money as to what we should suggest to them in terms of a budget reserve or buyback of shifts or whatever. So between the three committees, we'll have to determine how much we allocate in terms of the one-time money, whether or not we should do that as a single bill, you know, a one-time cash bill that becomes, in effect, a bonding bill substitute, or do it by individual bills or within the individual divisions, the finance divisions. So we do have to resolve a lot of these procedural issues within the Senate as to how we handle this.
It's been done both ways in the past. Remember, what was it, 98? We had a 900-some-million-dollar bill, and it was all cash, but it was still under what was then called the bonding bill, but it is called a capital investment committee. So, but that's something we're going to have to work out. The governor put most of his one-time money in the different different areas, if we did that, there wouldn't be any cash, I guess. But we'll see about the February forecast as well. But Senator Scheid, did you have
something? No.
Oh, Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Mayor, and Mr. Russell. I commend you for seeking the LEED certification on this project. I was wondering if you could talk more about the additional costs, perhaps with the LEED, seeking the LEED certification, as compared to the energy savings and the cost savings from that design.
Certainly, I could address that. For one thing, we're very proud of the deck that we are probably the top country or building like ours in the country as far as conservation efforts already with recycled packaging, materials recovery center, a cardboard baling operation where we take cardboard in from other businesses. And this last year, what we did is we put in a 1.6 million insulated pipe system where we use total waste energy, hot water that's been going up a stack at our steam plant. It's finished technology, and we heat our entire facility and the new facility on waste heat. So this is an ongoing effort. We get a number of points for those things that we have in place. The additional cost for design, the design team has agreed to do that for $200,000 in additional design fees. There's quite a bit of work. Much of the LEED certification is tracking materials, making sure that you use wood from renewable forests, but that can't be just your word. You have to actually have a tracking system in place. You also get points for using materials within 500 miles of your site. And so there's a lot of work there. So we have a $200,000 budget for just the design costs. As far as how much more it costs to be LEED certified, that's come down quite a bit because it's not for arenas, but for a lot of buildings, office buildings, environmental centers, there's more of it. But that's still estimated at 2% additional incremental costs overall, which I think is reasonable and will pay itself back many times over the years. On that project, we've budgeted $1.1 million, which is 2% of the $55 million actual construction costs in anticipation of the added costs to get that LEED certification. We're pretty comfortable with that. In the past, it's been 2.5%. Now it's just dropping. And like I said, the payback on that will be measured in a few years rather than a few decades. Right now at the deck, our electric bill is $1,400, $1,500 a day. And everything we can do to reduce that makes us more efficient. We realize the legislature set some pretty strong priorities for state buildings, and we'd be very proud to be among that list of LEED-certified state-funded facilities.
Thank you.
Any further questions of the committee?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Sinjum.
I have the disadvantage because 41 years ago when Senator Metzen was doing curling, I was a mere baby. But but my question, Mr. Chair, and to the witnesses, is it, can you just, we all know the deck, you know, the arena, the theater, and so on. Is this addition an addition which would protrude out into what I might call the existing parking lot, or can you just kind of characterize it a little bit in terms of what you're going to be doing?
Sure. The new facility will be connected to the existing complex, so we can use it for trade show space, to expand home shows, Grandma's Marathon, a lot of other events. But it actually goes out from the auditorium on that side of the lot, and I will get you, I'll drop in the mail, or I'll have Kevin, our lobbyist, stop by the site plan.
Okay, thank you.
One last thing, if I can. Senator Langseth, I'd be happy to prepare a memo on the savings if we move this schedule along. We're thrilled to be here. The DEC board is just happy with the support, so the wisdom of the legislature will handle that at the end, but I will prepare, if you'd like, just a quick page memo on some of the advantages of moving the construction up.
Chairman?
Up until about 10 minutes ago, I was a big fan of the volleyball expansion down there in Rochester. But does the frost come out of the ground? I thought it was about August. And hello, not me. Anyway. I guess that's it, but it could be a combination. You mentioned cash or bonding, and it could be half and half. It could be a formula of the two, so it doesn't have to be one or the other. So,
I would guess if it was bonding, though, it might not come till later. I wouldn't think anything would really come until after the February forecast, so we know how much one-time money there is.
Yeah, yeah.
If more showed up, then that makes it a little easier for us to do more of these projects with cash. But there is a tremendous number of requests. And in most cases, there are things that didn't make it last year. But there was close to $2 billion worth of requests that didn't make it last year.
Mr. Chairman, before everybody starts jumping up and down relative to February forecast, the sense from the Department of Finance, both with the discussion in the Finance Committee this morning, but more importantly, the Council of Economic Advisors meeting on Friday afternoon, it doesn't sound like Dr. Stinson's forecast is going to come up with any significant change from where we are right now. So if there's any additional one-time money for this biennium, it's probably going to be minimal, is the best sense.
Okay. Any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay, St. Cloud.
Curl you.
Senator Clark.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for having us today. For those of you who weren't with us last year, we did have visual aids, and we've got new visual aids for you because we want to help you with your thoughts. So we're going to. You probably can't see from here, but it says Go Huskies at SCSU. It's very, when you're feeling a little hot around here, it'll help you cool down. So Morris Kurtz, our athletic director, I think has them for you. We're very excited about being back here this year, and hopefully we'll be able to make this happen. The National Hockey Center in St. Cloud is a regional gateway. It's the place that many people actually come into our area. It's utilized not only by St. Cloud State. You're going to hear some of this briefly from other folks too. St. Cloud State, St. John's University, Tech High School, youth hockey, a number of community events. It's a pretty important place. But when it was first built, it was built, shall we say, rather frugally. It looks a lot like a high school facility in terms of you just walk into a hallway. It's not very accessible. The sound isn't great. There's a bunch of issues. And we have a great hockey team, but keeping a great hockey team also means making sure that we've got the kind of recruiting tools that we need. And so the enhancements that we're looking for this year are really important, both to the university but also to our greater central Minnesota area. I've got three folks with me today. They're all going to be brief, and we're going to start with Steve Ludwig, who's Vice President for Administration.
Thank you, Senator Clark, Senator Langseth, and members. I want to reiterate our appreciation of you here, listening to us today and giving us consideration last year. If you recall, I think it was 3 years ago on one of your trips that those that were members of the committee then, we had our supper that evening on your long day of touring at the hockey center and saw, I believe, a couple of Mike teams playing out in the middle of the ice while we enjoyed some chips and brats, I think, at that time. Our hockey center is used extensively and by St. Cloud State, St. John's University, local high schools, community recreation, and the hockey program for boys and girls in the St. Cloud area. We perhaps these fans represent that we tend to keep the hockey center a little cool in the wintertime if you come up there and observe that, and so you may need them for in the stadium more than you actually in the hockey center. But in any case, we've provided you some documentation regarding the facility that was in your packet. That has pretty much the facts about what we're talking about. Basically, we're talking about a $13 million project, of which we propose to raise $2 million from private sources, and with the $11 million provide a significant renewal and improvement to the National Hockey Center. And in deference to that, I think I can ask Dr. Morris Kurtz, the athletic director at St. Cloud State, to talk about our utilization of the facility. Dr. Kurtz?
Thank you. My name is Morris Kurtz, athletic director at St. Cloud State University, a position I've held for 23 years now. I've learned several things being an athletic director over 23 years. One is winning is good. Having a team ranked in the top three in the country is good. Having a facility that's ranked in the top 10 in attendance in the country every year is good. And having a facility that's ranked number one in the country in college hockey atmosphere is very good. I had the pleasure of being here 20 years ago when we received our initial funding. I believe we've been excellent stewards of the taxpayers' dollars over that period of time. We have become an economic engine, not just for the athletic department. Hockey does fund, underwrite our entire 21 sport program, but also for the university and for central Minnesota. Whether it's youth hockey, physical education classes, Disney on Ice show, we have a facility that's operational 7 days a week, almost 24 hours a day. It's 20 years old. There's a few amenities that we weren't able to incorporate into the building when we built it 20 years ago that would now allow us not only to maintain the progress we made, but also to expand and become even more of an economic engine in the region. In particular, we have no ticket lobby that can house any significant amount of people. Our people line up basically outside in the winter months to purchase their tickets. Handicap accessibility is something that is critical. In addition to continue holding and to expand the number of youth tournaments and conventions, we need additional locker rooms, enhancement of our weight training facilities, and obviously this kind of enhancement will, again, allow us to continue moving this project forward. So we're delighted with what we've been able to accomplish over the last 20 years, and we look forward to this next step allowing us not only maintain what we've done, but also move forward. To help underscore some of these accomplishments, I'd like to introduce the president of our Center Ice Club, one of the most prominent hockey support groups in the country.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, the committee. I'm thrilled to be here to just help promote what we're trying to do in St. Cloud. My name is Bill Proud. I'm a business person from St. Cloud, but I have volunteered my time for the past 15 years as president of the Center Ice Club. It's a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and its sole existence is to support St. Cloud State University hockey. I think we've done a good job in our group. We have a group of 700 members. It's one of the largest hockey booster organizations in all of college hockey. We're a top 50 donor all time to St. Cloud State University. We take a lot of pride in our promotion and our financial support of St. Cloud State hockey. Our membership as a collective group generates about $250,000 a year in revenue to the St. Cloud State hockey program in terms of membership, season tickets. We love our rink in St. Cloud. We think it has a great atmosphere. We're very proud of our team. We had 19 WCHA all-academic members last year. It has great ice. But unfortunately, after 20 years, the building simply needs a facelift. again, the ice is great. It was a very sound, structurally built building back in 1989. We feel at this point in time that a facelift needs to be done. I've traveled around the country quite extensively at a lot of other rinks from New Hampshire, Vermont, Colorado. I don't think there's a single facility that I've been in that does not at least have a ticket lobby. Our poor fans have to stand outside in the cold weather, and so that's one area that does need to be addressed. We are a very strong collective group through a cooperative effort of the Center Ice Club, our alumni, our former players, and the business community. We're ready, willing, and able, and we can assure you that if the money is appropriated for this project, that we will raise the $2 million on our part to help round out the package. Again, thank you very much. We feel it's a very important project for not only St. Cloud State University, but the community, the region, and we feel at this point in time that it's a good time to try to get moving on this project. Thank you very much.
It was mentioned that apparently the profit made in the hockey underwrites. Is that typical for other higher education institutions, that hockey makes money and the others lose?
At the Division II level, with a Division I sport, that is typical. All 19 of our sports are at the Division II level, and two of our sports, men's and women's hockey, are at the Division I level. So certainly depending on your attendance and other factors associated with the economic support, advertising, marketing, promotions. Division I hockey can be that kind of economic engine, and fortunately for us, it has been at St. Cloud State.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering how this request fits into the Minsky list of projects, or what, if it's part of that, or any explanation you could give how this is ranked within the Minsky list, if that's appropriate.
This project is part of the university's request for the which would be the next legislative session, and we have not heard exactly how it scores with respect to the broad needs across the system. And so I'm unsure of its status because we haven't completed the scoring. It is, and it has certainly importance within Minsky, but we also bring it to you because it has economic importance to the area around St. Cloud and to the commitment the state has to amateur sports, which is kind of outside of the purview of Minsky. So it's a unique facility that originally came to campus as an initiative of the Amateur Sports Commission, and we want to continue that multiple use that we've had of certainly intercollegiate hockey, some instructional use certainly for the university, but also very broad community use. And so it's a little bit fish and fowl kind of request.
Mr. Chair.
Chairman. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, in that regard, has there ever been an analysis done of what kind of sales tax revenues this facility generates for the state of Minnesota?
I don't believe so.
I'm not Senator Langseth and Senator Berglund. I'm not aware of an analysis of sales tax. The Amateur Sports Commission did do an analysis of the amateur sports use, which is beyond the university's use, that was about $1.5 million in economic activity. How that would translate specifically to sales taxes, I've never seen that analysis.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I ask the question is because a few years ago we had quite a few requests for auditoriums type projects, and the way we made the decision where to cut it off was whether, you know, the facility was large enough to generate enough activity from outside the state that it was generating, you know, additional sales tax revenue for the state. And I think the DEC does that, but when you start getting smaller than that, it becomes quite questionable whether, you know, it's just kind of an additional resource for the immediate area as compared with something that is generating resources for the state.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, two things. Going back first to Senator Sieben's question, I think one of the things that has been challenging for this committee and certainly for the legislature is that when we need to be thinking about the academic functions first, and that's where our building requests have come. That's where Minsky tends to come. But we also now have places where certainly the sporting and recreational parts of the facilities are key to the community. And how does that fit in then with the academic needs? And it almost seems like you have to look at them separately from the academic needs, which is why this year looking at a few of these projects may make sense. I think that in terms, Senator Berglund, of your question about the economic piece, there is a host of hockey tournaments that people come from around the state to be participating in and from regionally. I think if you'd like, we can go back and get that information. But I would also suggest that the scope is much broader than just the economic impact because of the wide range of institutions that utilize this space as well as the financial piece. Again, St. John's uses it, Tech High School uses it, a lot of the other youth use it as well as St. Cloud. So it's a multi-use facility. So the economic piece is important, but it also is just a huge regional draw for our community.
Senator Metzen.
I think we'd kind of be a little remiss if we didn't say something about Herbie Brooks and his influence on this arena back. Sound like Sid Hartman, a close personal friend of mine. Herbie, and we miss him. And we played a little hockey against one another. We served in the Amateur Sports Commission, and he was certainly a catalyst back in 89 or whatever. And I don't need a comment, but I just thought
Mr. Chair and Senator Metzen, it was that is something that we certainly see. His spirit lives on in that place. And then, you know, if you kind of go full cycle, we got the pleasure of having the Stanley Cup brought up this last year with two of our former players. And that was, I can't tell you, the place was jam-packed. And kind of, you know, thinking about what he did and then what these former students do to bring back, it's pretty amazing.
And we also have the pleasure of the street in front of the National Hockey Center being called Herb Brooks Way. So we're constantly reminded of his contribution.
Just as a quick comment from a standpoint of a competitive facility, even in the WCHA right now, it certainly is not competitive with what North Dakota, Colorado College, Denver. These buildings are unbelievable. Meeting rooms, ticket lobbies. Again, this is the fourth oldest rank in the league right now, and with the program currently ranked fourth in the country, they're doing a tremendous job, and we're very proud of them. But we certainly want them to continue to be competitive, and it is a flagship program at St. Cloud State. Brings not only statewide but national prominence to the university, and certainly is used as a resource to draw students to the area. On the other hand, from the use of the building, it's utilized for commencement. Youth hockey programs can only get about 1,000 hours a year out of the facility. I mean, it is used a lot. Even at my age, I'm still lacing up the skates. And when I play, it's at 9 or 10 o'clock at night on Sunday. So it's a well-used building. I think the building is a little tired right now. It's built well. I think with some modest facelifts to the building, it'll carry it over for another 20 years.
Well, as I had mentioned, these four event centers all are connected with higher education, which I think is more justification for us to fund them than just a convention center or something. However, we have even done the convention center route, and I think Senator Berglund mentioned that the payback to the state in some of those cases can justify it. But these are a little bit separate in that higher education is a responsibility of the state. And last year, of course, we had some pretty long lists from Minsky and the U that were in the academic area and so on. And I think they had a higher more justification than these did. But when we were up, Senator Dean Johnson and I were up at Duluth, and Senator Dean Johnson pretty much promised that the Duluth one would go, and the governor already had. Neither one of them promised this one, but I did say at that time that if we do Duluth, we really should do St. Cloud as well. So it just rounds off that four event centers. So, and we again will have to decide whether this is going to be cash money or bonding money or the timing of it and so on. So, stay tuned, and we'll be looking very seriously at your project.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, members.
Yeah, thank you. Next week we're gonna take the entire time for the Capitol building project. and try to be on time because we are going to, they're going to be giving us a tour of the Capitol here. And
your fan.
So,
Mr. Chairman,
what?
Mr. Chairman, are we like meeting regularly on Tuesdays? Is that the deal?
That's what we've been doing so far.
The 12th. Okay.
I mean,